What is up, everybody? Zach Petrovich here.
Charlie Birtwistle here.
It's the Building Code.
And I am in a fantastic mood.
Why is that?
Well, Zach, two reasons. One, I'm getting to spend time with you.
Oh, yeah. You feel that love?
Yeah.
We really turned the corner.
Two, we have some very exciting guests today. We've kind of been on a roll with guests lately. We have to give a huge shout out to our producing team for lining these up. But Chris and Yvonne Johnson, I would put in the celebrity category, had their own HGTV show. We are just lowly little podcast hosts. So I feel very honored to, catch a glimpse of the celebrity lifestyle and get to talk to these people.
Yeah. Hopefully don't get starstruck.
And yeah.
Just
exactly.
Fumble over our words.
I was kind of fumbling right there. But very excited. And it sounds like, did you meet them or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so they were at Billerton University recently. I've heard nothing but great things. We got a packed booth behind us. People don't know this, but we often record in front of a live audience of people listening in. So
we're clutch. Yeah, basically.
Very, very perform well under pressure. Zach, what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, we're going to kind of talk a little bit about their story. It's really interesting to talk to people that have been in the TV world. So I'm interested to see how that happened and mm-hmm. kind of what that ended up as. We're going to talk a little bit about their BuilderTrend experience, their BuilderTrend U, BTU experience. So we're going to kind of do the whip around.
I love it. A good old classic whip around.
As they say in the biz, I assume. We'll check with them.
All right. Let's do it. Let's get them in here.
Hey, Yvonne and Chris, welcome to the Building Code. How are we doing today?
Good. What's up?
Thanks for having us.
Hey, no problem. Our pleasure. We love having our people that are BTU alumni. We'll save that for later, but you guys were just in Omaha. And, you know, that's a big deal. But before we dive a little too deep into kind of your story or about your experiences at BuilderTrend, why don't you tell us your story and a little bit about your business?
So I'm Chris Johnson. I'm a licensed general contractor here in Atlanta, Georgia.
And I'm Yvonne, his better half and 51% owner of our company, Reclaim Karma. Please make a note of that.
I work for her. Yep.
There we go.
That's awesome. Well, you know, this episode will air a little bit later, but we just had the Super Bowl and Atlanta's own Usher was down there. I just need to know, like, did he deliver? Yeah.
Oh, he brought it. A-town.
it was fantastic. I was calling out on the during it. I was like, "That's the hat from the music video." Like, we're just recreating the music video live here.
It's so crazy, man. Because in Atlanta, like, you can just randomly see just people.
Yeah,
Atlanta is one of those cities where you pull up at a red light and you pull up next to a Rolls Royce, a Bentley, a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, and you're like, oh, snap. Woody Harrelson at a restaurant.
Oh, we did.
He was like, oh, snap.
There's Woody.
What's up, Woody?
Hanging out. Omaha doesn't have that. We got a lot of Priuses and insurance agents.
Yeah.
We don't have and every once in a while, maybe Warren makes an appearance at a McDonald's nearby randomly. go ahead, Charlie.
I was just going to say, so you guys met Zach. We talked to Nicole before you guys hopped on. Big fans of you guys at BuilderTrend University. I unfortunately did not get the opportunity to meet you guys, and I know a lot of our listeners are very excited to learn more about you. So tell us a bit more about your journey. How did Reclaimed Karma come to be? How'd you guys get into the industry and kind of where are you at now?
Yeah, so Reclaimed Karma as it exists today is a boutique design and build firm. But it was not always that. When we started out, we bought a house. We'll give you the convinced version.
Yeah.
So we bought a house. We didn't have the money to furnish the house.
We were house poor.
Right. So we started building and refinishing furniture in our garage to furnish the home. Yeah. I was in sales at the time with PepsiCo. Yvonne was a business owner, and her business was starting to slowly.
It was tanking.
It was tanking. And so
that's really how it started. He gave me a bottle of wine. I was like really feeling bad about my business. And he literally handed me a bottle of wine and a paintbrush. And he was like, go in the garage and just paint something. We need furniture. And back then, like 12 years ago, it was becoming a thing to refinish furniture. So I was grabbing stuff off the side of the road, cleaning it up and painting it with my bottle of wine to get over the drama of me losing my business.
That's right. And I had never picked up a tool at that point in my life. But we walked into Restoration Hardware. Like, we just bought a house and we were house broke, but we went shopping at Restoration Hardware. And she was like, I like this dining room table. And I was like, yeah, I like it too, but it's not going home with us because it's like,
it was like eight grand.
Right. It's not happening. And at the time, it's like, imperfectly perfect furniture was just coming into play. And I was like, bro, I can build that. Like, it's sloppy. I can build it. So I found a pallet and built the coffee table out of a pallet. And she posted it like, oh, look what my husband built for me. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, is that for sale? And she was like, no. And I was like, delete, yes, absolutely it's for sale. And so we sold the pallet for $300. And then with me being in sales, I started doing the math. And we turned the sip and paint therapy room into a sweatshop. And we just started cranking
out. I don't think we can say that.
figuratively.
Figuratively.
Yeah. It started off as a hobby and fun for me with the wine and the paintbrush. He was in the garage like, come on, paint more, faster. We got to get this done. He ended up selling literally everything in our house. Everything that he would build, I would put the dining room table in. I was so proud of it. And somebody asked for it. And I remember I came home one day and it was gone. He had sold it out of our house. Just everything was going. Everything was for sale.
Everything was for sale.
Yeah. So,
I love that.
So that evolved in, what's that?
I just love your sales guys kicked in. You're like, everything's got a price. What do you mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We were negotiating. Nothing was left. Everything had to go. It was one of those furniture businesses that always goes out of business every 3 years.
Yeah.
That's where you fire.
Everything gets to go. Yeah.
Go out of business. Everything's got to go. But so that evolved into us doing like little small projects in people's homes as I started to become a little bit more handy. And Yvonne's design eye was widening. And then we decided, because we had caught like the HGTV bug, just looking at, you know, it was like wallpaper. It was always on in our living room.
Yeah.
And so we said, well, we should do our house and then maybe we could get into like house flipping or something like that. So we hired a contractor. The contractor was showing up every day at like 12. Well, hold on. Let me rewind. We sought out this young man that was in our neighborhood doing some work, brought him over to get a quote. He said that he could do our kitchen for $4,800.
Okay. That's where you guys need to just stop and wonder what's wrong with them.
What's wrong?
We were told he could renovate, tear down all of the walls in the kitchen. This is where you know we're the problem.
Right.
$4,800. And we thought that that was,
it was a great deal.
We can afford $4,800 for a whole kitchen renovation. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Because we didn't know. We didn't know any better.
Handed them the money, all of it.
Handed
them
the money, all at one time.
You're just like down in cash. About $4,800.
In cash.
Right. In cash.
That's so funny.
He pulls up ready for work at like 12 p.m. the first day of the job. And he pulls up in his sports car. And all of his tools, he's ripping them out the plastic, you know, everything is real. Yeah. So
you're kind of like killed for this on this podcast. Like,
no. This is great.
Everyone needs a good origin story.
Yeah. This is
start somewhere.
This is fantastic because you guys are going to rise out of this ash when we get into kind of your accolade sense. So it's good to kind of see anyone can start from the humblest beginnings.
Yes. Yes.
That's what we'll call it. Very humble. So he was coming in every day around like 12, leaving at like 1, 2 o'clock because he had to go pick up his kids and stuff. And this led into around Christmas Eve. And we were supposed to put up a beam in the middle of our living room. We had temporary walls up on our kitchen countertops to keep everything up.
This is a whole nother podcast.
And he had told us, you don't have to get an LVL. You can make your... so I YouTube how to make. I know, right?
That's awesome. Oh, this is so great.
How to make the beam, and so
I put like
the hold up. It was that's about a 17-18 foot span, right? So I took some. No, I'm sorry. It's about a 15 foot span.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So I took some 2x6s and layered them together, and then did like plywood 2x6, plywood 2x6, wrapped it, screwed it, you know, and it was
rock solid.
Yeah, and it was flat. It wasn't even, I didn't even stack the 2x6s on the shrimp side, I stacked them flat, right? And then like a hamburger, you know, it was.
You know, they don't call us the building code for nothing. Like, this is not up to code.
Right. Yeah.
And of course, none of this is permitted. We didn't even know what that was.
We didn't know any of that.
Okay.
So Christmas Eve rolls around. He says, hey, I'll be there later today. I called him. I said, hey, I'm running around the corner. I'll be right back. When I pull back in the neighborhood, I see the butt end of his little sports car leaving. And so I called him and I said, hey, man, are you coming to put this beam in? He's like, you don't dictate my schedule. It's Christmas Eve. I have to go get my kids' stuff. And I lost it.
That was it.
I absolutely lost it. So
long story short.
Yeah, I lost it on him. The police showed up. And then Yvonne is crying on Christmas Eve that we're never going to get our kitchen finished. And I said, I will figure it out.
He was fired.
Nicely put. He was fired.
Yeah.
And I told her I would figure it out. Long story short, our friend is a screenwriter. And she was like, this is absolutely hilarious. You guys have no idea what you're doing. I'm going to make a phone call to some friends I have in California. When they call you, just say yes. And Yvonne was like, what do you mean? Just say, I was like, hey, she just said, just say yes. So they called us and said, so you guys have a renovation company.
On a video chat.
Yeah, video chat.
I was like,
no. And I'm like, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yep. We renovate homes.
You renovate homes.
Yep. And they're like, you guys have a booming furniture business too. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you guys are taking over your city. Absolutely. That's what we're doing. So they said, well, we'll be out. We love you guys. We'll be out to film a sizzle. So we're walking around our little city square and we're filming the sizzle for HGTV. And Yvonne's like, this is never going to happen.
They're going to catch on.
This is literally unbelievable. I cannot believe this.
And Chris has a full-time job and they think his full-time job is a contractor.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So while walking in the square, this guy pops out and says, oh, what are you guys doing? Because we got all the cameras up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's an actual contractor.
He's like, I know a contractor when I see one. This guy, he's not one.
Right. And so he's like, what are you guys doing? He was doing a big commercial renovation. And we started talking. I told him we were filming a show for HGTV. He's like, oh, cool. He said, hey, if you ever need anything, give me a call. And he gave me his card.
Thank God. You
know, put the little card in my pocket, kept moving and filmed my little sizzle. And about a month later, we get a call and say, hey, the network loves you guys. They're actually going to film a pilot. And I was like, yes.
I was like, dying inside. Like, oh, our life is over.
I called the guy. I said, hey, man, I got an opportunity for you. We're actually going to get this small little show. Would you be interested in working with us to be able to do the show? We need a general contractor. He was like, yeah, sounds like fun. It'd be cool. So our first official renovation client was on national television. It was the first client we ever had was on national television.
Nobody except knew. For all the people that watch this.
Yeah.
Nobody knew.
But we crushed it. We crushed it.
Yeah.
And so I would be staring in the camera and the producer would ask me a question and the contractor would say, and then I would regurgitate. But we had the eye for it. We knew, like, we created the whole design for it. By that time, I was pretty handy with custom carpentry and fine woodworking. So all of the elements that were put in there, we actually did do it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
we did an amazing job. We crushed it.
It
aired. You know, it's not like it got done and they were like, oh, we can't even air this. We crushed it. It aired.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed our entire life. Yeah. Like that one episode changed the whole
trajectory of our
business.
Right.
And we, from furniture to renovations, we were getting calls from really all over the country. And from there, we had to catch our business up.
Yeah, right. So, catch up with the business.
Yeah, we couldn't pretend. Mm-hmm. We had to. So then Chris started working with the contractor that, which became one of his great mentors and mentored under him for many years until he got his own general contractor's license.
Yeah. So I studied under him. Then I sat for you know, our state exam, passed the exam. So now I'm licensed. I can build up to 3 stories, 20,000 square feet commercial. And yeah, we specialize in luxury kitchens and baths, additions. We move into our first new build this year from the ground up. It's a 2,600 square foot pool house.
Yeah.
3 stories with, I know, it's a little small project. No, but
it's good for us. That's a great way for us to get into home building,
right,
is to be able to work on a pool home that's basically the size of a home.
Oh, size.
Charlie and I know all about that. They were well compensated on the building code.
Yeah. Speak for yourself. Yeah.
So that's our story. Yeah.
That's so where we're at. So now we're pretty busy. Are able to be pretty selective in what we choose to work on, which is like, you know, so amazing. Mm-hmm. We've gotten really big into social media. In 2020, I had to make some, you know, changes. We both did because things kind of slowed down. So I took a lot of courses on social media, and that kind of blew up our social media side of our business, our content creating side. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to work with companies like Home Depot and Loctite and Bayer,
Builder Trend.
Builder Trend.
Now, yep.
All the big dogs.
Our life.
Yep.
So
that's awesome. I think that was by far the most incredible origin story we've had on the podcast here. Normally it's like, oh, you know, my dad owned the business and I took it over, and we're like, oh yeah, sounds great. 30 seconds later, we get into the question. I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. And I'm glad you guys were laughing too, because there were definitely a series of very unfortunate events leading up to you guys making it there. So I didn't want it to seem like I was laughing at your struggles, but knowing what goes into it, like that's unbelievable. It's like the truest example of fake it till you make it I've ever heard.
Yes. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Welcome to Atlanta, baby.
Oh, I love it. Well, let's actually talk a little bit. So we always try to, you know, circle it back to our listeners who maybe they have ambitions to be better at social media, or, you know, to build a network, or, you know, get with these brand partners. What sort of advice would you give to people who maybe haven't had the same kind of like, well, what is happening as, you know, as it's unfolding, but now want to kind of get to these opportunities? What have you learned along the way that you can share with people who are listening to your story?
I probably would say number one is let's not pretend it's not work. It is work, right? It's another job. It's, for that side of our business, that entity is called Creative Karma. And so we have just built up the habit and the muscle of filming everything that we do. And it is, it's another job. You could literally hire another person to help do it and document it.
And we have.
Yeah. But in the beginning, you just have to be very diligent about documenting your journey, right? And it's good for you to be able to see where you started. When you start, it's going to suck. Like everything else that you do, it's going to suck. Nobody's going to like it. You know, it's going to be crickets out there, but it's all about being consistent. Yeah. Consistent and being consistently consistent, because we burn out at times. You know, there's times where we don't post for a minute because it is a lot of work. Right. And there's other times where we're on it, you know? And so you just have to continue to show up like everything else in life. So that's number one, I would say. And then
being authentic, you know, we're not afraid to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. So if we have a great day,
proving that today,
look at what we just told you.
Right.
Here. Yeah.
But I mean, we have, you know, we're a husband and wife team. We have good days and we have some not so great days. Mm-hmm. And we have no problem letting people know that it's not all roses over here. On a business side, on a marriage side, marriage is hard enough as it is, let alone running a company together. But it's the biggest blessing ever to be able to run a business with like literally your best friend and your partner who you know has your best interests at heart with, you know, personally and in business. So
marriage
that's
is not hard. I enjoy what I do every single day working with my wife.
Why are you holding up your right hand like you're swearing?
That's the clip for the episode.
Yeah.
To promo it right there.
Yeah. Yvonne's gonna want that one clip too, and just play it back every time.
Exactly.
You heard what he it's
the, yeah, you see, yeah, you're on camera, sir. You've been recorded.
That's right. And then I would say the other thing is too, like, the whole goal around social media for us is for it to expose what we do on a daily basis, yeah, to more people. So it's another marketing arm. And so for anybody out there that's not documenting their process, documenting their transitions, transformations in their projects, then you're missing out, because what it has done for us is it has not only been a marketing arm, mm-hmm, but it's also a level of validation for future prospects and clients, to where we have had people hire us and said, we love how clean you keep your worksite, and we know you do that because of the videos that you put out there. People have waited on us for a year, 2 years, because they trust our process. And when you're visible, they know that you're not going to be like running off with their money. Yeah. You know, our goal is to take the con out of contracting and being fully transparent with your videos. It allows that. And it gives you the type of power of where you don't necessarily go in selling to a potential prospect. They reach you and you're actually qualifying them to see, like, do we really want to take them on? They kind of got some quirks. I don't know if this is going to be a good fit,
right?
No, yeah, for us.
Well, it flips. I think the industry for the longest time was so dominated by word of mouth as far as leads and in getting prospects in the door. And what social media has allowed us to do is skip the middleman and have the word of mouth come directly from your mouths to the, exactly, prospective clients. We've had a few episodes about this, and it's really in the last 3 or 4 years in the construction industry particularly has really kind of taken off. So it's awesome to hear you guys kind of echo that sentiment. And definitely going to be getting a follow from me right after this episode. One thing you guys have mentioned a couple times, Reclaimed Karma, Creative Karma, the karma in your company name. What's the story behind that? How does that kind of play into your business?
Well, we definitely believe in giving back. We believe in giving out everything great about us and hoping that that comes back 10 times. And I think karma just fit because we do everything based on good karma, mm-hmm, great karma. That was the first part of our name that we knew was, mm-hmm, going to be part of our name, mm-hmm, before we added Reclaimed. Mm-hmm. But karma was definitely a huge part of our name, a huge part of our company. And we just feel like if we give great out, you know, we're going to keep having that come back. So,
yeah. Yeah. And karma really aligns with who we are as people, mm-hmm, our family values, and to echo Yvonne, our core values as a company. We one of our core pillars is being intentional and integrity. And we try to make sure that everything we do lines up with that. Right. And karma circulates, you know, right in there. So, yeah, what we put out, we want to get it back.
I love that. I think actually the theme of this episode, recognizing we're 20 minutes,
like, oh, we're right, there's a script. There's a script.
Upcoming busy summer season.
Oh. just like, we're gonna go full 180. All right, the editors are gonna have a hell of a time with this one.
No, this is great. I mean, the this has been an inspiring. Zach and I always joke that this isn't our full time job doing the podcast here. We come down here in between meetings, record these episodes, and go back. And it's always, I'm always more motivated after talking to our customers and hearing stories like, yeah, integrity and intentionality. That's something that I can do right when I go back to my desk. So I appreciate this has been a great episode already, but I am curious, by the time this airs, busy season is going to be right around the corner. What are some of the key steps that you guys are taking? You had mentioned being really intentional about who you work with and being selective and things like that. What are some other things that people can do to get ready to ramp up and ensure that they're streamlined as the busy season comes around the corner?
For us, it's all about scheduling, man. Mm-hmm. You know, the schedule and trusting our process, and not being too, I'm not going to use the word greedy, but just making sure that you don't take on more than you actually can handle and be able to perform at your peak on, right, every single job, because you're only as good as your last job, you know? And so with us, we don't, we are a boutique firm. So we don't stack a lot of jobs on top of each other at one time. At any given time, we'll be on a construction site, maybe 2 to 3 different jobs, and they all have different life cycles. So we make sure we're not starting demolition on 2 jobs one day. You know, we want them to fall behind each other and spread them out enough, because what can go wrong in construction will go wrong
right.
in construction. And we want to give ourselves enough breathing room to be flexible and bounce our interior crew and our trade partners, subcontractors, around to each job effectively and not create bottlenecks. So for us, scheduling is huge. And with BuilderTrend, we can keep everybody locked in on the schedule and not have to make multiple phone calls and make sure everybody's aligned. Our internal team, our customers, everybody is locked in on the schedule. And if there's any changes, everybody sees it in real time.
Yeah.
And so for us as BuilderTrend newbies, that we're excited about that moving into the peak season of how well we can streamline the process of scheduling all our jobs together.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize you guys were new to BuilderTrend, which is really exciting. Welcome officially. probably should have led with that. But you just seem like veterans, you know, you just seem like you really got it all figured out. You know, why question? So you came to BuilderTrend University. What was your experience like?
So we started with BuilderTrend last year so that this summer we would have it together because we really needed to pull those processes in place.
Yes.
And BuilderTrend was like the best option to help to, you know, make this summer a little easier on us, because we're great at what we do, but all of the organizing can sometimes get a little out of hand. So when we looked at BuilderTrend University, we were excited. That was one of the things that also sold us on the program was because we knew we had all this hands-on support. So not only do we have our own personal coach, but we were able to come to a whole university. So we had an awesome time. I think Chris, honestly, understood 99%. I think some of it, I had to come home and I had to like really like, you know, take it all in because we are new. So, and we went to a more advanced
super user.
The super user. That's like, yeah, you're new and you jumped right in. I actually,
super user.
So I think once I got home and actually got into the office and was able to implement some of the things that we learned, it was like, oh my gosh, this is like so eye-opening. And it was so helpful to be able to have all of that hands-on support. We met some amazing people. We met some really great other contracting teams, and we were able to network with them and get some of their like nuggets of how they're running companies that some of them 10 times as big as ours, right? So it was awesome.
Yeah, we got a lot of best practice conversations there. I think for me, the biggest two things. Number one, I got to dap up JP first front, because that's who we had our demo.
Your salesman?
Yeah.
JP, that you two are an actual perfect fit. You know, that couldn't have teed up a better sales rep for you.
Right?
We'll make sure we clip that
JP, for him. I would put him, he has to be close if he's not already on the Mount Rushmore of BuilderTrend personalities.
Oh, yeah.
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 So JP is the man. So I got to dap him and hug him up. So that was cool. And then for me, it really just sealed the deal even stronger with, it gave me confirmation I made the right choice as to the program that we chose for our customer relationship and project management tool. Because you can genuinely see that the people at BuilderTrend want to be there. Like at first we were like, this is fake. I have a meltdown somewhere, but it's like, no, everybody is happy
and helpful.
And so you can see that when you call in for customer support, like either on a chat or on the phone call, like people at BuilderTrend genuinely want to be there. They care about what they do and they care about who they do it for. And for me, that was like, yo, this is amazing. If I get fired from my boss, I know why I'm coming to work. I'm coming to work at Builder Training, baby.
Yeah, we're going to get you on the, you'll be taking me and Zach's job. You can host the podcast if you come out over.
Actually, yeah, you have way more experience than I do, so that would be a great fit. If it doesn't work out, you know, all the best.
If it doesn't work out.
Yeah, all the best. Well, we've covered a lot today, and I've had a ton of fun. We joked before we got on air about a second episode. I think...
have to.
Yeah, it's not optional. We will have you back on. So just, you know, figure out what works. Our people will talk to your people. I don't know how it goes in showbiz. Sounds like, yeah, I could just fake it, and it'll just happen.
Exactly.
So... but thank you both so much for being on today on The Building Code. We really enjoyed having you. We had a ton of fun, and we'll hope to come back.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
We do.
Charlie.
Zach.
We just had Yvonne and Chris Johnson from Reclaim Karma. What a fun episode. I had a ton of fun. That was... We're not joking. We're gonna have you back on. And
well, I can totally understand how they got their own show, because what incredible personalities! Hardest I've laughed in a long time. Super fun episode, and I think a really, really good message. Work is work. If you want to get what you want, you have to do the work to get it to it. I am fired up now. So I didn't want to say it in front of them because I didn't want to be embarrassed, but I did a little refurnishing when we moved into our new house.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. We had a same sort of story that they said. It's like we walked through a certain big box furniture store.
I'm not paying 10 grand for
a headboard. Yeah. And on the same sort of thing, I'm like the like rustic vibe that's kind of in now of like, oh, like imperfections is what the style is. I was like, I can do this. And so it's kind of embarrassing, but I had a beer dye table in my backyard. It's like this big old piece of plywood, you know, legs and everything, which I also built myself. And I'm like, I just sand this down, stain it, put some crown molding around the outside and paint it gold or whatever. And it would look exactly like that $10,000 headboard at the big box store. And so that's what I did. And I had a ton of fun doing it. So apparently I should have just posted it and sold it. I have my own HGTV show right now.
Is this like you announcing to the world that you're quitting The Building Code to go start your HGTV lifestyle dream?
But if that ever happens, I would love for them to use this clip and be like, it was always Charlie's vision. Yeah. So we'll see. I'll manifest it into the universe.
I love it. Let me know.
And I'll use Builder Trend to manage my project.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Doing a little double dip. And you're our next influencer.
Yeah. Wow. Geez. That'd be crazy.
We just figured out Charlie Birtwistle's life here on The Building Code.
Enough about me.
Yeah.
Zach, what do you think about Chris and Yvonne?
Oh, they're fantastic. I mean, I promised to whip around at the beginning of the episode, and that is what we got. And we talked a lot about things as well as far as keep going. Don't give up. Really kind of commit. It's still work. If you want something good, you still have to take control of it. They have a great sense of perspective, you know, and that kind of genuineness really shines through. And I always find the people that are the most successful have that quality.
Yeah.
And that it really
karma.
That's karma. That's exactly where I was going with that.
Dang it. Sorry to beat you to the
punch. That's all right. Hey,
monologue going.
And I was going to beat you to the other punch. So we better stop just ruining each other's material here and call it a day.
Wrap it up. Thank you so much again to Chris and Yvonne. Thank you to Zach for being a great co-host. Thank you to all of our producers in the booth for all the work that they do. I'm feeling very thankful today.
Which is weird. It's Valentine's Day, not Thanksgiving, but it's working out. Love, it's feel the love. Well, thanks, everybody.
Thanks to our listeners. Until next time, I'm Charlie Birtwistle.
I'm Zach Witowicz.
See you.